2nd, 2025. So we will begin with our first item on the agenda, which is our roll call. Yvonne, if you could start that.
Hi everyone. As you hear your name, if you can please acknowledge that you're here, that would be greatly appreciated. Brian Arnold.
I am here.
Thank you. Mel Banta. Adam Blakesley.
Present.
Thank you. Frank Cantone. Sean Chang.
Present.
Thank you. Erica Crawley.
I'm here.
Thank you, Erica. Jamie Dawes. Rose Howard.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Benda.
Present.
Thank you. Kyle Carnuda. Kyle messaged me. They're going to be a little bit late. Ellie Crump Powers.
I'm here.
Thank you. Jeremy Cruiser.
Present.
Thank you. Sophie Lanches.
Present.
Thank you. Yalverton Lucane. David McDermott.
Hi, I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. PM Enders.
I'm here.
Thank you. Anne Morse.
Present.
Thank you. Kevin Phipps.
Present.
Thank you. Stephanie Rasu. Kate Supron.
I'm here.
Thank you. Deb Serene.
I'm here.
Thank you. Wendy Treat.
Present.
Thank you. Jana Van Houten. And Danielle Weerson. All righty, that is everyone. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Yvonne. So now we'll move on to our next item on the agenda, which is our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. And moving on to the next item on our agenda, the approval of the March 19, 2025 minutes. It was hyperlinked in the agenda email that was sent to everyone. If you could take some time to look at that, we'll give that until about 12:05 for folks to just review. And then I will welcome a motion to either amend or approve the minute. Is there a motion to amend and or approve the minutes?
Can I make an amendment?
Rose.
Just that it says that it was incorrect date listed for when the last time the Communications Committee met. Our last meeting had been the 12th of March, not February.
Okay. Awesome. Are there any other amendments? All right. Okay, are you making a motion, Rose, to amend the minutes so that it reflects
You know
March?
what? Actually, now I'm looking
Well,
at it again. I think I'm just wrong. Just ignore that.
okay, no worries. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Anne. Is there a second?
I'll second it, but is it by unanimous consent?
Okay.
So okay, let's so it needs to be motioned by unanimous consent. It needs to be framed that way. Mm-hmm. We don't have our parliamentarian here today, folks, so.
I make a motion to approve the minutes by unanimous consent. Thank you, Wendy.
Seconded.
Awesome. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the motion is approved by unanimous consent for the approval of the March 5th, 2025 minutes. And now to our next item on the agenda, a call for late additions. Does anyone have any late additions to the agenda that they would like to include for our EA reps? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to our business of the day. The first business of the day, we have Michael Hoffman. Michael Hoffman, Professor Emeritus and the co-chair of the Climate Change Curriculum Working Group, going to talk to us a little about some climate change. So we'll turn it over to Mike. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Erica. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. As co-chair of this working group, we've been charged to meet with assemblies, student assemblies, graduate student assemblies, and others, and in conversations with the Office of Assemblies. The employee assembly came up. I spoken to the group several years ago about climate change. So I'm going to share some slides, or source some slides, and won't take long, but the real goal is, so you're updated on what we're doing for Cornell students. Is that coming up okay, my slides?
Yes.
Okay. So this is focused mainly on an effort to prepare Cornell students for a climate-changing future. And if you're not aware, we're part of the overall Sustainable Cornell Council. There's a subgroup called Education Engagement Committee, and there we are, this working group. And in addition, what I also want to do is I'll share this and get your feedback on what we're doing, but also what your needs might be as employees at Cornell. There's opportunities, and I'm just going to put myself out there, but there may be things underway I'm not aware of. Human resources may be doing things, but it just seems this is an opportunity also to hear how you're doing with this issue of climate change and take it back to the working group. So our goals are to build student climate change literacy and basically help them be prepared for what lies ahead, and also leverage that activity to the benefit of the larger community. And that would be through, say, engaged learning opportunities. You may recognize some names. The membership of the working group is fairly broad, a number of faculty, a number of staff included. And again, I co-chair this with Basil Safi from the Einhorn Center for Community Engagement. So our scope and potential deliveries were fairly broad. So we're looking at, you know, things to explore, climate change courses, which I'll focus on. Community-engaged learning, I mentioned that. Are there models out there that we can adapt to bring to Cornell? We're putting together a faculty workshop, which I will describe. Study abroad, focused on climate change, on and on and on. And even activities in dining, the opportunities to create educational opportunities over food, which is my particular specialty. And I'll just show an exhibit, the mock-up of an exhibit that's going to be in Mann Library for several months, focused on climate change and food. Just another example of how we're starting to touch these different points across the campus to convey the message of climate change. Okay, not a pretty picture. So there was an interview with senior authors of the United Nations reports on climate change. And basically, I'll just read this. Global heating will be catastrophic for humanity, with mass migrations, famines, conflicts driven by floods, heat waves, and storms more intense and frequent than anything we've experienced. 80% of those surveyed said we're going right past 2.5 degrees centigrade. Right now, we're supposed to stay below 1.5. this century, and 50% say 3 degrees. Not to scare people, but I just think it's always better to say, to tell the truth than to hide it. This is really scary. And that's this century. But despite this feeling or this view from these experts, they're not giving up, nor should we. And that includes preparing our students for their future. We can tackle this if we have the will. So several resolutions, two by the Student Assembly, one in 2018 and one more recently, basically are asking, you know, that students be prepared in one way or another for the future, such as safeguard the rights of students to habitable future and equip students with the tools and knowledge to navigate the challenges of the crisis ahead. But if anyone remembers, the Employee Assembly also did a resolution, 27-2018, and basically is supporting the idea of climate change literacy at Cornell, and that in fact, you have a role in furthering climate change literacy at Cornell. How's it feel to be young, between 16 and 25? This is a survey of, I believe, yeah, over 16,000 young people in the US. Over three quarters describe their future as frightening. A lot of them think humanity is doomed. They're anxious, sad, powerless, angry. Half of them hesitant to have children. Needless to say, it's impacting their mental health. But I really picked up on this one. Three quarters want to see universities and schools helping them be prepared for their future. And that includes supporting them and frankly, listening to them. I hear this over and over. Nobody listens to me. So we're creating one thing, and that is a training program for faculty to how to incorporate more climate change into their courses. We're doing this with the Center for Teaching Innovation, myself and Melina. And it's a 5-week program that'll start in May, go for 5 weeks. So if you've got a class already and you want to refine it, you want to make a new course, the idea is to help with that. Yeah, really important to look across disciplines and coursework so that you bring in these other disciplines that maybe aren't in your department, but beyond that, and then learn from each other. So the draft program, Climate Change 101, what's happening, how to confront it, technical and social solutions, addressing climate anxiety, which is in your classroom, inspiring action, not fear, climate change justice, and how to incorporate this all into your courses. There's the dates, the notices already going out to invite people, to faculty to attend, any lectures as well, from May 27th to June 24th. And I'm teaching, and one thing that's also happened, we've got two major advances from our working group. One is the program for faculty, and the other was there was a need for a new course. So these are the learning outcomes for the Sculpt Plant Science 4940, Climate Change and Your Future. I'm actually the one teaching it. It's based on a course I've been teaching in the past. And here we go. Kind of common sense. Students need to understand what's happening to the climate, understand good information from bad, be able to talk about it, make informed decisions. And finally, and one that's really important, address climate change anxiety in a way that the outcome is positive instead of just despair and not able to do anything. Course topics, climate change science, anxiety, how it impacts health, biodiversity, food, yes, I put cosmetics because believe it or not, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry and they're concerned because of all of their plant-based products used in cosmetics, from lip balm to toothpaste, flavorings, everything. It's kind of a really interesting story. I won't go there now. So the students learn how to adapt and mitigate climate justice, how to be more activist, how to talk about it. We do storytelling, role-playing, which is good for a laugh, actually. And the role of media. I had Aaron Sachs came in from the Department of History. He's a humorist. And we had a good laugh, and I wore the dinosaur outfit on the right to introduce them. Talk about using food. And then what's going on at Cornell and dining, the climate action plan. The students are not aware of all the positive things that are being done. And finally, career options. And I'm looking for a different place for this course in the future so that more students can enroll. So Yalman, I'll let you read this. These are two statements from students about their experience. It's kind of like their compelling message to others. I'll give you just a little time to read both of these quotes. I do like the first one. Hope isn't just a feeling, it's an action. And I mentioned an exhibit. This is a mock-up of an exhibit that will be up for about 4 months starting in April, but it's another way of telling the climate change story. And this is based on the class that I've been teaching. And also with others, we wrote a book called Our Changing Menu. So it's how climate change is affecting the foods we love and need. There may be many other ways of doing this, but this one's pretty exciting because it's going to be up and there's a lot of traffic and a lot of people will see this story of food. And here's a couple of the panels. There will be a grand opening on April 22nd. And on the right is an example of one of those large panels. You know, they're about the size of a window. I'm sure you've all seen them. This talks about beer and wine. And look at that artwork done in the lower left by one of the students. Crack a cold one while you can. So there's a lot of student quotes and input into this entire display. So I think I'm going to stop there and just if there's questions, suggestions, feedback on what we're doing for the students and what we could also be doing for you. And I didn't finish climate change. I did offer a course a couple of times now. It's called Climate Change from Soup to Nuts. I didn't quite finish the word nuts. We can talk about that. So I think with that, climate change is really serious. We just can't. I mean, can you imagine a world without ice cream? There'd be darkness and chaos. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Does anyone have any questions for Mike in this time? If there aren't any EA that have any questions, again, raise your hand. And even if you aren't EA, you can ask questions. Just know that if there is EA questions, we would address those first and then come to those who are not EA. Yvonne?
Yes, thank you so much, Professor Mike Hoffman, for the information. I'm curious. I know that Cornell Dining does a really good job about collecting all the food scraps, and we have our own area where the compost is taken for it to break down and, you know, become compost. I also know that there's a student organization or student-led group that through training, they are then able to set up different compost bins, and this provides a similar type of resource in bringing the compost material to the area where it's kept here at Cornell. I forget the name of the location. I'm wondering though, is there an opportunity for specifically staff members to participate in this initiative of collecting compost, maybe in our offices or even thinking about a little bit broader in our department, in our college?
I don't have a specific answer. By the way, I used to be in charge of the compost facility. I was director of the experiment station. It's part of Farm Services. It's pretty impressive. But the one thing we found was picking up small amounts of compost all over campus is logistically just almost impossible. So there has to be sort of points of aggregation simply from just imagine that big truck running around and greenhouse gas emissions and the time and cost, et cetera. I will take your question to the Cornell Office of Sustainability, Kim Anderson, because you're right. I haven't heard anybody, like that's a new question for me. So I will find out for you and get back to you if that's okay.
You. Good question. Thank you.
Brian?
Thanks for that presentation. And I think this is valuable education and conversation to bring to our community. But also, unfortunately, it is a topic of conversation that is fraught with a lot of difficulties right now. So my partner works in research and development. So her job is to help bring federal science research money to Cornell. And they've been issued lists of things they're not allowed to talk about in their grants anymore. And climate change is one of those. When we see what's going on at Harvard and Columbia, we have to take that seriously. Like, that could really have huge impacts on the economic viability of Cornell. And I'm curious if your committee has talked about how we reconcile those two needs, the needs for this education, and then the needs for the to address the political and economic realities of the moment.
Things are moving so fast in the wrong direction that we didn't have a meeting where we normally would, but I'm going to put that on the agenda for the next meeting because we have not really talked about that. I mean, I'm in the middle of writing an opinion piece that really goes to the top and what's happening to the future of our children. And I always run it past Cornell Media Relations first. And it'll be interesting to see, like, wait a minute, you know, let's not draw any attention to Cornell. So it's what's happening is simply horrible to higher ed, to the research, whether it's health, food, you name it. But I think your question is really, really good. And it is something we need to we'll talk about that. So I appreciate that.
I was just hoping to add a quick follow-up comment because what I was trying to emphasize in my question is the balance of those two things. I mean, I think we need to resist and provide this education, but I also understand we need to maintain an economically viable community. But thank you.
I'll give a personal response. Damn the torpedoes, or man the torpedoes, tell the truth. Someone's got to tell the truth. And there may be higher powers suggesting otherwise, but I'm going to continue writing opinion pieces and all the things that I do. I've given a couple hundred talks on this topic of climate change and food, and I'm going to continue to do that because people are hungry in part for the truth.
Yeah, thank you for that work.
There's a question about the course number, the new course that's going to come out in the spring of 26 has yet to have a number. Because it's going to be in a different department likely. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Anne?
Thank you, Professor Hoffman.
You can call me Mike. I prefer that.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate your words and damning the torpedoes. I think as a staff member, as a person, human being, I'm eager to know always more about what I can do. But in this context, as a Cornell staff member, what do you have suggestions on what we can do? And I'm particularly interested in two areas. One is in wondering if your group talks to purchasing regularly, because that's an area in which impact can be made, and also in transportation and how this might affect working remotely, if that comes into the conversations at all that your work group is having. So thank you, Mike.
Actually, our focus is really on the curriculum. But I know that, again, the State Office of Sustainability, they're working on purchasing and transportation. And, you know, my dream was, okay, COVID, we had so many conferences by virtually, why shouldn't that have continued in a sense? Very good questions. Again, it's not part of the purview of the working group, those two topics.
Can you, I know that there's eCornell does keynotes and there are some on climate change. Is your course something that might be available in a very compact form for staff members who can't do it over a semester, but might want to take, say, 3 segments, something like that?
You mean the course I offer for students? Actually, I may do it again, but this past time, and bear with me, it's a very small enrollment. It's big for legitimate reasons, but I opened it up. Anybody want to walk in, just do it. So I make announcements when there are certain key or guest speakers. I apologize, I've lost the other part of your question. No, go ahead. Run up by me again. I might have missed it.
No, I'll save my time to Allison. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Allison?
Thank you. I have a question and a comment. I wondered if students or faculty raised the issue of the impact of generative AI, especially third-party generative AI, on the environment. And yeah, that's the question, if that's come up yet.
It has not come up, but I think it's another grand challenge we face. If you're referring to all the energy used to operate AI. No, it has not come up. I'm trying to think. There's probably a place for it in all of this, but it's a bigger issue than our working group.
Yeah, what I would say is, so it's on my computer. I don't know. I work in Cornell IT, so I don't know how much of it is rolled out to the entire university yet, but maybe it's everybody's Windows computers having Copilot and things like that. What I would put out there, something that could be explored, is that if you self-host these kinds of generative AI things, as opposed to using third-party platforms, you can have more control over where the energy comes from. So I just want to throw that out there in case there's a place for any of that kind of discussion. I would love to see Cornell invest in that for the sake of, the earth. Thank you. I really appreciate what you're sharing.
Thanks.
And then we had a question in the chat from Jeremy. Is CCE involved in this process at all?
No. Again, the curriculum, the focus was primarily on what's happening at Cornell in the classroom. So no, but if I may just jump in, I did this. What I do is focus on how we can use food to confront climate change. And that's where CCE, I've been looking for partners, et cetera, and just speaking opportunities, but also even having meals over food. Talk about what's happening on our plates. When I did that in the classroom, it was almost an epiphany for students. They went, I get it. It's right there in front of me on that plate. Everything is changing. So I welcome anybody who is from CC to reaching out to me, and I'd love to have a conversation.
I'll be in touch, Mike. I'm with CCE.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay, great. Are there any other questions for Mike before we move on?
And if there's any follow-up, please don't hesitate to reach out. Miles per hour 3, MPH 3.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, thank you, Mike, for your time. We really appreciate you, and we will be sure to reach out to you if we have any follow-up.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. So great. People, we'll move on to the next item on our agenda. This is the EA Resolution 2, a call for recommitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. We discussed this a bit at our last meeting when we were looking for sponsors or folks to participate in writing it. Rose, Yvonne, and I got a preliminary draft together, right, for folks. So we'll send the link out to EA reps so that you all can review it and decide whether or not you would like to be a sponsor, right? Just let us know after you've read it. But also we want to give time for the committee to all of our committees, right? So this is all of the committees that we have for the EA to review the draft to see if there are any suggestions that folks would like to make, any edits, right? Anything that we missed, because we are not too proud to acknowledge that we may have missed some things, right? And so wanting to give you all that time, and then we will bring the resolution to the floor for discussion May 7th. So we're hoping to get feedback back from everyone by April 30th so we can incorporate that for discussion for the larger EA. Okay, so we'll be sending that out to folks after our meeting today as far as the link, so you can start looking at it and then taking it to your committee meetings to discuss. Okay, we just wanted to make sure that was on everybody's radar earlier than later, right? So next on our agenda is President Kotlikoff's installment as 15th president of Cornell. Wanting to see if there was any discussion around this topic. I know between our last meeting and now, he was gone from interim to our permanent president. So wanting to see if there has, if there's any insight folks would like to provide in that, or if there are any comments from constituents that you would like to bring forward. Additionally, if folks would feel more comfortable having this conversation in executive session, I welcome a motion to enter executive session to have the discussion about President Kotlikoff's installment. Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the next thing. So the final expressive activity policy email was sent out. Oh, Yvonne?
Sorry, real quick. I just wanted to remind everyone that it is on the agenda, but President Kotlikoff and Vice President Lovely are going to join us on April 16. And today is the last day, I believe, by 4 p.m. to submit any questions from the EA representatives. I had shared a link before, and I'm happy to share it after this meeting again. But please make sure to submit any questions if you have any for our April 16 meeting.
Thank you for that, Yvonne. So for our next item on the agenda, the final expressive activity policy was emailed to everyone some time ago. I'm thinking last week or week before last, in between our meetings, we were emailed that final policy. Does anyone have any questions, comments, concerns around that final expressive activity policy? Has anyone had a chance to review it? Okay, and some nonverbals. Okay, no discussion around it. It's gonna be a pretty quick meeting, y'all. Okay. Marcy.
Just a quick, it is the policy that was pretty much, he was at the university, President Kotlikoff was at the university assembly meeting last week, and he did announce that it was going to be coming forward, coming out pretty much without any edits, just a few point of clarifications, I think, the lawyers added and the policy committee added as well, but it's pretty much the same policy that was discussed with in about 65 different different meetings, and you know, all of the different you know additions to it, but it was a good final policy. I'm happy it's at least out there.
Awesome. All right, so is there any other discussion around the policy? Thoughts, questions, comments, concerns? Okay. Ooh, I won't push. So moving on to the next item in our agenda, committee and liaison reports, the executive committee. Yvonne?
Yes, thank you. We have a meeting with the president actually on April 15th. So welcome any questions or comments that you would like to share to me, and I can bring them up. I was absent at our last executive meeting, so I don't have much other than that. Thank you.
No worries. I'll add a little context there. We were discussing the EA resolution and tried to get that ready. And then we discussed Mike coming to our meeting today as well. So that was pretty much that. Does anybody else have anything to add to that? I don't have our agenda up right now. Awesome. So moving on to Communications Outreach and Recognition Committee, Rose.
Oh, thank you, Erica. I was thinking about this presentation, which is what I was talking about earlier. So we did last meet March 12th, but the minutes before it had been February. Anyway, we're doing EA voice emails bi-monthly. So we had one in March. Our next one will be for May. Ellie Crum, thank you, has Crum Powers has volunteered to be our EA Spotlight member. The next award in our award subcommittee will be Staff Integrity Award, and our subcommittee has been working hard on that. We're still trying to figure out if there will be celebrations because of the sustainable budget. So I'll keep you posted on that. Our next committee meeting will be April 8th, 2:15 p.m. We've had very low attendance at meetings, and I need to be reaching out directly to people listed as committee members to see if they're interested in joining with us. So if you are on a committee and I haven't seen you in a meeting, I'll just be emailing you and checking in.
Thank you, Rose. Employee Education and Development Committee, that's Deb.
Hi, everyone. We have not met since our last meeting, and so I have nothing to report.
Awesome. Thanks, Deb. Employee Welfare Committee, Christy.
Hello. We chatted about the Board of Trustees reception, received a feedback that it was a really wonderful opportunity for the board to share reassurance with attendees that they are working for the long-term future of the institution. The takeaway was people felt hopeful and left with a bit of confidence in the institution. We have chatted about how people are feeling. The word that was being used is stuck. And so we had some conversations around ways to staff can support each other and opportunities to feel less stuck. There are a couple trainings that are coming up that we discussed. There's a break and learn, providing well-being services for remote and hybrid employees on the 8th of May. There's an Inclusive Excellence Summit at the end of April on the 22nd. Registration is still open for that. There is a couple policy discussions that we are engaging in, one on 6.2. We'll be inviting Lori Johnston to a future meeting. There's a policy review going on 6.10.9 on career development and mobility. And we are hosting at our next meeting, Linda Crowell and Sonia Baylor to talk about a set of services, talent transition services that are being reinforced at the institution now in support of a different policy. I think it's 6.12. And finally, I think I will note that we believe the well-being and belonging survey has been delayed, and we're discussing an opportunity for an EA priorities poll in that vacuum. So that's it. We're gonna meet again in 2 weeks.
Awesome, thanks, Christy. And then the Benefits and Policy Committee, we know Bethany isn't here, but would anybody like to report out for this committee? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the Elections Committee. I'm not sure if Stephanie is here. I don't see her. Would anybody like to report out for this committee in Stephanie's stead?
I guess I can if you want.
Thank you.
Registration closed on March 14th, I think, and we have a pretty good slate of candidate. A majority of the races are unopposed, so they will be seated. There is one race where it is contested, and I believe Stephanie is working with Office of the Assembly to see if one of the two candidates could possibly fill one of the other vacancies. But again, the individual would need to meet the criteria of the seat and the criteria of the election rules, such as being obviously a full-time staff member, being either Ithaca, Neva, or Cornell Tech, and then planning to be in their department or in their college or whatever for as long as the term of the seat. So Stephanie definitely would have more information, but voting will be taking place, I believe, open next week. And then we should have our new members in place for our organizational meeting on April 16th. I apologize that I don't have dates, but I don't have the calendar right in front of my face.
Thank you, Wendy.
Yep.
Moving on to our liaison reports, UA Campus Codes Committee. Brian, is that Brian?
Oh, hey, Erica, that's me.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Dave.
Hey, no problem. We haven't met. I touched base with some of the, I'm not the chair of the group, but I was curious. We had met in late January, but then we hadn't gotten an update. You know, we were going to have a resolution about our response as a committee to the interim expressive activity proposed policy that was, or report that was delivered in December. There was at least a few people in the committee that wanted some more clarification about, and I'm sorry, I know this talks on the topic we talked about early in this meeting, but I wanted to bring it up here. Some people were concerned about some of the language about the violations and how violators were going to be dealt with or processed, or however you want, word that's best used here. And so there's going to be a resolution. The resolution didn't happen. And you can see that now we have the final report from President Kotlikoff, or the final policy. If you look at the violations and how they're going to be handled, it's much more generalized, or not necessarily vague, but very sort of limited in how it explains it, if versus the December report, which is much more specific. I'm sure that's intentional, to give, you know, freedom of operation. But yeah, unfortunately the resolution didn't happen. I wasn't sure how I was going to support it one way or the other, depending on how it was written. It was going to be written by a professor of government, here at the university, but it didn't happen. And now we have the report. So I'm not sure where we go from here. You know, the climate's changed, and I'm waiting to see if there's going to be another meeting of the committee before the semester wraps, once spring breaks over, and take it from there. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. UA Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and Environment.
That's me. Unfortunately, we have not met since last time.
Okay. Thanks, Yvonne. UA Campus Welfare Committee.
That is me, and I have the same report. We have not met since the update I gave 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Campus Planning Committee.
I was there, and Kate was as well. Kate, do you want to give an update? Or?
No, you go ahead. I had to leave a little early, so you were there for the whole time.
Okay. It was interesting. There was a presentation on about 15 projects, major capital projects underway currently at Cornell. I could give you the list. Really a lot going on. Almost every corner you can find something going on. Discussed three upcoming projects, a Stewart Avenue reconstruction project, a Maple Ave multi-use trail rehabilitation project, and then a Forest Home Drive pedestrian zone improvement project. There was also discussion about outdoor art. There's a installation that is seeking site selection. There was a bit of conversation around that. And that's it.
Thanks, Christy. Transportation, Hearing, and Appeals Board. I think that's Dave again.
Yes, it is. Thanks, Erica. No, we haven't had any meetings since the initial orientation a few weeks ago. There haven't been any appeals to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee for Campus Constituency Elected Trustee, that is me. We have met to discuss the student undergraduate student elected trustee, but they are underway for candidacies. So they hasn't closed yet for folks to declare candidacy, and they should have someone picked by the end of April. So hoping all goes well. And then Faculty Senate, I don't think Danielle's here. Yeah, I don't see Danielle, so I don't think we will have a report for Faculty Senate. Are there any items for open discussion? Marcy?
Sorry, no, I just wanted to reach out to anyone to see if they had any thoughts. I know a few of us were there at the trustee discussion. And I don't know, my takeaway, Christy, you kind of talked about this a little bit. My takeaway was they were pretty hopeful. We had some tough questions, and they answered some tough questions about future plans. How do they feel about all that's going on looking ahead? And they were pretty positive. I mean, they were saying, you know, we survived COVID. That was pretty, you know, pretty hard, and a lot of lost revenue, especially with Weill Cornell. I guess they rely, I didn't think about it. They rely a lot on the Weill Cornell revenue, and they didn't have that for months, many months. Also 2008, I don't know if there aren't too many of us that were here back then, but there was also the downsizing that happened back then, and they learned from that in not to, you know, borrow money where they, you know, don't go for all these projects that they didn't have money in hand. And they did learn from that. So they did, I came away at least feeling a little more confident. Of course, it's a little crazy right now and who knows what's going to happen. But at that time, it felt okay. Just wondering if anyone else had any thoughts about it too.
Yvonne?
Yes, thank you, Marcy. We were in our welfare committee earlier, and I shared similar thoughts, Marcy, that, you know, like I came out of that space feeling a little bit more hopeful as they shared their reflection on their experiences and thinking that and sharing their thought process that, you know, like Cornell's going to be here on the long term. It's not going anywhere. And really what they're trying to do as well is ensure that we as employees are also able to stay here and keep our jobs. So definitely feeling hopeful.
Awesome. Did anybody have anything else they wanted to add to this topic or any other topic that they want to discuss? Okay. I have a couple things for folks. I wanted to give people the space first before I spoke. During our last in-person coworker coffee on the 31st, we had some very fruitful discussion around EA presence at different things so that we could be more visible to our employees. So thinking about events like Employee Appreciation Day that's hosted in the fall and the spring, there's an SEL Fun Day that usually rounds up the staff in student and campus life. There's a well-being day that happens in the summer. And then there's Administrative Professionals Appreciation Day that happens in the spring semester. Wondering how we can show up in those spaces and just inform folks about what we do for employees. Wondering if there is any comment concern around being present during those times. Christy?
I'll share that Marcy and I were discussing earlier. Pre-COVID, the EA actively participated in the celebration that just occurred Saturday. Marcy and I served meals, and it was a really awesome way to reach a whole lot of staff. We had a lot of conversations. It was a good time. I would support the notion of us being more present at these campus events.
Thanks, Christy. Does anyone else have any comment toward yay or nay being present at these events? Yvonne?
Yes, I think this is an awesome opportunity that is presented to us. I would imagine, like Christy said, that was opportunities that were taken advantage of in the past. And I can imagine that also the pandemic caused a lot of disruption. And as we continue to build our community once again, I think that this is an essential opportunity for us to take on as the employee assembly, to show our presence, to show our commitment to the staff, and for the staff to get to know us a little bit better as the representatives, and they know who to go to share celebrations and or concerns.
Any other question, comment, concern around this topic? Rose.
Yeah, I think it's great. We talked about it a little bit right at the coworker coffee thing yesterday. I think it would just be important that we see if we can get support from the greater EA so that it's not like always the executive committee having to show up at every event. So it would be great if that is just paired with engagement from the rest of the broader EA.
Thanks, Rose. Thank you, Allison. Thank you. Awesome. Oh, Yvonne, go ahead.
All right, just a thought to what Rose said. I think it'd be cool to have, so we did this with the employee, the coworker coffee, but we had a spreadsheet kind of more internal with the executive committee and listed, you know, like the event, the location, the time, all that kind of stuff. And then the names of the individuals who are going to be present. So I'm thinking we could do something similar, right? Kind of like determine which are the events that we want to prioritize as we take this on this on. And then connecting with this larger group and really getting y'all's input on like where is it that you as a representative can also join us or join other representatives to ensure that we have someone available at all of the events that we decide to attend. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, I have one more thing. Go ahead, Marcy.
No, you had one more thing. I wait till you're done.
Okay. So we also discussed during this event the possibility of a remote employee representative, seeing as how we are expanding right in that space for remote employees, wanting to see how folks feel about creating a new seat for remote employees and having their voice represented in the space, right? I know we have some folks who are remote who serve in different capacities, but having a seat specifically for the experience of remote employees, seeing as how that industry and avenue for work is growing in our space. Wendy?
Okay, this is just my own two cents. Pre-COVID, we really didn't have that many people that are remote. And post-COVID, obviously we do. We have people that are fully remote, they don't even have a space on campus, anything like that. In order to do this, it actually needs to go through like elections committee because they're the ones that decide on seats and all that kind of stuff. Right now we have 35 seats. So if we add another one at 36, that potentially leaves us with an even number. So like if we ever have a tie with something, we don't really have a tiebreaker, those sort of things. And yeah, I just, while I support it, I mean, it kind of opens a can of worms for all other, you know, why don't we have a representative for the, I mean, we kind of had that discussion with like a Jewish representative. Well, if we do that, then we need to have one for all other religions, that sort of thing. So I think it kind of opens a can of worms a little bit. But I mean, I get the sentiment behind it. But if we look back 10 years ago, we really didn't have that many staff members that were remote or did, you know, weren't physically here on campus. So this is really just a recent change, but it would have to be something that would be discussed with election committee. And also just bear in mind that we're going to have new people coming, or, you know, new members in 2 months, because the session ends May 31st. So whatever we may decide, the next session may decide, yeah, no, we don't like that, or that might not be a good idea. Just throwing out all possibilities.
Wendy? Kate?
Yeah, I think it sounds like a good idea. We have representatives from different who work in different places, different employee groups. We have their New York City representative, we have or Cornell Tech representative, we have someone representing Geneva. And I feel like remote work is about location and employee experience rather than a group, rather than like an identity group. So that's just me pitching for it. And I know that these things take a lot of time, and Wendy's correct, it would probably be for the next, for the incoming assembly to discuss and move forward. So I'll put my hand down.
Thank you, Kate. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion around, and is that a hand? Anne?
Thank you. As the SCE and eCornell rep, I strongly support having a remote somebody to represent that constituency. I do my best, but it's not across the university. And there are a lot of employees who have unique needs as remote employees. And also just in terms of participating, we were talking about participating just now, which I think is great in the things, the employee celebrations. That's great for those on site. How do we also do more for those who are off site? So I think it's great. And I also understand, Wendy, all of the complexities and yeah, might take a while.
Thank you, Anne. Allison?
I am a remote employee, and we were made remote without it being like a choice and stuff, just like other people were brought back to campus without it being a choice. So I feel really, I have a lot of feelings about that. But in any case, I think that the comparison to location-based representatives is really, really fantastic. I totally agree with that. So thank you. I think that was Kate. Thank you for bringing that up. Totally agree. I think that would be great to do.
Thank you, Allison. Marcy, I know you had another point but that you wanted to make.
About the chat, we're all kind of talking about the AI companion, and there's a lot of discussion about that. Chat doesn't become part of the, part of the official meeting. So I just wanted to put out there, AI companion was put on. I don't think it's much different than the transcript and having a transcript, and anybody can save the transcript. Just the AI companion, in my understanding, just kind of shortens it a little bit and might put their own little spin on it. But yeah, that was just wanted to put it out there. And also I wanted to get Jeremy and any other IT people that had thoughts about it as well.
Awesome. Allison, I think that's a response to Marcy.
It totally is. Yeah, I think that there, I agree that there's definitely some stuff in common with the transcript, but there are like data privacy implications. I think it's worth looking into how, like getting more details about how Zoom analyzes that. And then also there are energy use implications that I brought up during the climate change conversation. So I think it should be a deliberate decision. I'm not saying it's like I think it should just be an intentional decision that's considered before we do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. All right. Does anyone have any other things they would like to bring up for open discussion in this last 15 minutes that we have? Okay. Well, seeing none, I welcome a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by unanimous consent.
Second. Thank you, Wendy. Oh, okay. Is a second from Yvonne?
Yes.
Awesome. So we will adjourn today's meeting, Wednesday, April 2nd at 1:01 p.m. Thank you, everyone. See you all on the 16th. Remember, we'll be here till 1:45.